I would agree with Ron, it is more pleasant when my wife is here. Good morning. Good to have you all here. If you are a visitor here for the first time, we'd invite you to fill out one of the visitor's cards that are in front of you, and so we can get to know you a little bit better. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I just always love it when God works out the details of the time and the order. We've been studying in Ephesians, and I thought as we came into this Sunday, today we are recognizing today as Missions Sunday, and it's a time where we focus upon those people that we support here locally at Golden Point, and also in general, just people who are missionaries throughout the world. We remember them with our prayers as well. So as we come this morning, we're recognizing different missionaries and different missions, such as Shiloh. And if you were here for Sunday school, Jim did a wonderful job of presenting the ministry of the Shiloh Children's Ranch. And it is amazing to see what God is doing through that mission and what he's doing through those people and their hearts. It really, truly is a blessing. And we pray for our missionaries that God would use them to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those throughout the world. And as we think about that, we come to this morning today to remember that we are to be living in the light. We are to be living in light. And that's what our text is for this morning. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the service already this morning. Thank you for the word of God. And we pray that as we look to you, that you would open up our hearts and challenge us, if we do not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we would be pricked in our hearts to understand the gospel message, to know how much you love us, and to know that you are the light of the world. And if we are believers, that we would wake up and be willing to let our light shine for you. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we do remember, today is Missionary Sunday. One of the things that we need to understand is that there's a definition of a missionary. And that definition is this. It's a person sent into an area to carry on evangelism. It's a person who is sent. Someone who is called to go to a specific country, to a specific region, to a specific ministry with children, whatever you want to call it. But their purpose, their primary purpose, is to evangelize, to spread the news, to preach the gospel. Now, all of us are not missionaries in that sense. And while we are not all missionaries, Paul does tell us today about something we are all to be. So turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 5. We're going to read verses 8 through 14 and see what God calls us to be. Beginning at verse 8. Or 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, the people of disobedience. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but even so expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This passage continues the emphasis on believers, as we saw last week, that we are to be imitators of God as beloved children. We talked about being an imitator, someone who mimics, someone who follows the example of. And it focuses on this, that we are to imitate God as his light. We are to be his light to the world around us. Now, the Bible speaks of God in relation to light in a very number of ways. And these are all just a small gathering. It speaks of God that he is our what? Our light and our salvation. From the Psalms. He is also an everlasting light. He never stops shining. You know what? I would even say that he outdoes the Energizer Bunny in that category, okay? His light is everlasting. It's not stopping. It's always there. It always has been. And the thing that I like, too, about His presence and His character and also His Word is this. In our lives, He is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He directs us. He guides us when we don't know where we're to go or what we're to do. Jesus Himself is called the light of the nations. He is the light of the nations. He is the true light that enlightens every man. And most importantly, He is the light of the world. So the focus is upon Jesus, upon Him being the light of the world. Now, Jesus isn't here anymore. Jesus went up into heaven. But He left us as His disciples, and He says, I will give you the Holy Spirit of God, who will enlighten you and will help you to be able to reach the rest of the world. That's what God has done in His plan. So we as believers, if we are going to imitate God, must obviously share in and reflect that light. So the question that I have for you this morning as we think about that, why should you live in light? Why should you do that? Well, I think the bottom line, the fundamental issue, and that's what Paul is talking about here, is so that we can be, and underline that word if you're taking notes, we can be an influence for the world for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men in such a way, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Part of that verse also that he puts there when he says this, you are the light of the world. And he makes an interesting statement there. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, it's exposed, it's out there, you can't hide it. He says, so does everyone who lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. But they don't put it there. They put it on this lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in your house. How many of you are singing right now? This little light of mine. I see it. Yes, all right. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And so it goes. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You don't hide your light. You don't hide Jesus under a bushel basket. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for everyone to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If I'm ashamed of Jesus, then my light's not going to shine for Him. If I am living in darkness and I'm still living in things that I shouldn't be involved in, my light is not going to shine brightly at all. In fact, it'll be like this light. If I keep using it, but I don't get recharged, it's not going to do any good. So Jesus says, don't let your light be hidden under a basket. You let it shine for me and let it shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. In other words, influence. I want you, God says, to be an influence to the people around you for Jesus Christ. We have also been commissioned. Paul gives us this commission very directly. Jesus gives us this commission. He says in Mark 16, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to preach the gospel. He's talking to those who are disciples, followers of Jesus. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, that's your commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You don't have to be sent as a missionary throughout the world, but you go where you are and you share Christ. It's the same thing that Ron talked about. He did a beautiful job of talking about what the gospel is this morning. He gave the plan of salvation right there. Speaking of Jesus coming into the world, the Father's love for the world that was lost, and that because we have all sinned, we're falling short of the glory of God, and he went through that whole thing. It's because of Jesus. That was the gospel message right there. And you heard it. If you're here today and you've never heard that message, here's the simple thing and the truth. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross. It's personal. And that the light of the world is trying to help you see the darkness of your sin. And when you allow him to come in and to shine upon your heart, and you truly understand the depth of your sin and ask him to forgive you and to be your Savior, He will give you eternal life. That's the gospel. That's what we're going to be sharing, the simple good news. And so our mission as believers is to be the facilitators to reconcile the Word to God. That word reconcile is interesting because it means this. It means to restore to friendship or harmony. Why is that so true? Why are we called reconcilers? Because God knows that those who are lost are enemies. They are apart from His friendship. They're apart from Him. They don't have things in harmony with Him. They don't think like Him. Paul says that we are to be the reconcilers. Notice what it says there. He has committed to us, what? The word of reconciliation. What's that word? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how people come back to know God. That's how they become intimate with God, through Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as those God were entreating through us. He will use you and me to share with those around us the message of the gospel. And we beg you, those who are lost on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If you're writing these things down, please write this. We don't have time to go to them today, but look up Luke chapter 1, verses 78 through 79. And then Acts chapter 26, verses 16 to 18, which speaks about the fact that we are to be the light to the lost by what? By our influence, by the way in which we live, by the way in which we talk. Yours and my Christian character and conduct affect other people for better or for worse. President Woodrow Wilson once told this story. He was in a barber shop, and here is his quote as he was in that shop, speaking of influence. He says, I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man came quietly in upon the same purpose as myself, to have his hair cut. And he sat in the chair right next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, by the way, I had to look that word up, okay? The editor would know, but didactic basically means this. His intention was to teach moralism. In other words, Moody didn't preach. He didn't preach and shove it down their throats. What he did was this. He showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him, Woodward says. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because it was Mr. D.L. Moody who was in that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he left, noted the very singular effect that his visit had brought upon that shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew that something had elevated their thoughts, and I felt that I had left that place as I should have left a place of worship. Do your lives reflect that same thing to people around you? Are you living in such a way that there's something about you that even if you didn't say anything about Jesus, they would at least see Him in your life? That's what we're talking about when we speak about influence. I remember the story of a professional golfer who had gone golfing with Billy Graham. And he was out there for the whole 18 holes, and he came back in, and the guy just, he was not comfortable at all. And when he came back, one of his other golfer friends, he says, man, he said, did he really get on your case and he really preach and yell at you? He says, he didn't do anything like that. All I did was play golf with the guy. Well, I can't believe him. His character is such that I just felt very uncomfortable around him. But he was also very gracious. Is your life being like that? Are you influencing people for Jesus Christ? Because that's what we are to be. We are to be a positive influence for the gospel. We are to be walking as children in the light. So the positive thing, you know what? I'm going to pick on her a little bit today. She'll get mad at me and yell at me, but that's okay. She's done it before. This is Sue Honeycutt over there. Raise your hand, Sue. Okay. Call her Aunt Sue. She and her cousin Mamie have been living together for a long time. They're both strong believers, and they live together because of the resources that they both can pool together. But they have both been very, very good friends over the years. And I love them. They give me a very hard time, you know, but they keep me on my toes. But Sue and I'm not going to talk about who it is, but we both have the same doctor, and we have the same doctor. And definitely not a believer. Definitely by his own admission, he is what he would call an atheist. But so, and I've talked with him and I've shared with him about the gospel. But you know what? The thing that I love about Sue is that whenever we talk about her business with this doctor, with this doctor, she's always talking about how when he will bring something up, she relates it back to the Lord. And about how it isn't, you know, she at one time told him, you know what, Dr. So-and-so, you've done a great job, but it's really God who's taking care of me. And so being an influence. We don't know how that's going to work in a person's life, but be an influence for Jesus Christ. We are to be looking at this in a way that's positive. Here's the positive instructions. Here's God's instructions for you as a light. Look at verses 8 through 10. You were formerly darkness, you're children of the light. Walk as children of the light. And that consists of all goodness and righteousness. Here's the key. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. As an illustration of this, your life, and we continue this pattern of illustrations and of the influence, but you are to do that which is good and righteous, those things that are right in your life. Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you have ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Yeah, tremendous woman of God. Read her book sometime, that would be great. But she tells of hard times during the war, and their family was in really poverty. And her in the watchmaking business, the family was there, and the family was in extreme need. She observed her father, and she observed this wealthy customer coming in. The wealthy man had decided to purchase a very costly timepiece from Mr. Ten Boom. And the cash that he gave him the cash. The customer related that he was buying the watch because Mr. Ten Boom's young competitor down the road could not fix his old watch. Corey's father asked to see the old watch, opened it, made an adjustment, and handed it back, and he said this to him, "There, that was a very little mistake. It'll be fine now." "So, I trust the young watchmaker, sir. This is to show you that I still trust this young watchmaker. Someday he will be just as good as his father. But if you ever have a problem with one of his watches, come to me and I will help you out. Now, I will give you back your money, and I'm asking you to return my watch." Corey watched horrified. Here's all this money that could have helped their family through this deep need financially. And she watched and she saw this exchange and then observed her father go to the door, open the door for the man, and bow in his normal custom manner to the man as he walked out the door. Corey was extremely upset. She flew at her father in anger and reproof, only to be herself reproved by his patient regard through his steel-rimmed his glasses. And he says this, his gentle question, "Corey, what do you think that young man would have said when he heard that one of his good customers had gone to Mr. Ten Boom? Do you think that the name of the Lord would be honored? As for the money, Corey, trust the Lord, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he will take care of us." That is part of goodness and righteousness and truth that Paul is talking about here. We're to walk in that so that others, even our own children, our family, can see that. So how can we, but we got to be able to shine like that, don't we? Those are great examples, but you know what? God wants you and me to live like that too. So how do I do that? How do I live in the light? Well, this is the key, I think. How can we shine more brightly and learn what is pleasing to the Lord? The song that we sang, which I thought was really beautiful, was, "Lord, let your light shine on me." That was a wonderful song. How do we do that? Here's a practical way. Very definite. We are to learn what is pleasing to God. That's what God wants us to do. And how do we do that? We shine more brightly by what? Spending extended time with Jesus, the light, so that his character is etched into our lives. It's like a photographic plate. The image of Jesus should be etched in our lives in that way, in that regard. But we need to spend time, like Moses. Remember Moses when he came down from the mountain, spent that time with God? When he came down, it says that his countenance shone so brightly that he had to cover up his face because the people couldn't look on him. Boy, that's what you should be doing, and me. We should be spending time with Jesus so that then we can have people see Christ in our lives. Open your Bibles and spend time with him there and learn from him. If you want to shine in the darkness, keep in the light of Christ. There's some negative instructions that Paul has for us here. Take a look at 11 through 14. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. We talked about that a lot last week. But even so, expose them, for it's disgraceful to speak of them. But all things are going to become visible when they're exposed by the light. So your life can be that light which will help other people to see their darkness. But here's an interesting thing he says in verse 14. Paul says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I believe that the context of this is in the sense of us as believers, that we can be walking away from God. We can be not walking in His fellowship to the point that we are asleep. We're not even able to do what God wants us to do. And we need to wake up. And that's what Paul's saying. Stop sleeping. We need to understand this. Light does what? It promotes life. Plants, as the farmers here know, plants will grow and flourish when they're provided with enough light. They have to have light. Your bodies heal better when you're exposed to sunlight. That's why I encourage everybody who's going through a tough time, if they can, go outside and sit in the sunshine. If we soak up enough sunlight, it will help you. But in order for our light for Jesus to shine effectively, we who were formerly darkness, Paul says, do not what? Do not be partakers in that. We need to wake up. Paul concludes this section with that verse about waking up. We need to be allowing our lives to be the ethical lights of righteousness and goodness when we're in the office, when we're in the shop, when we're in the classroom, when we're even in our own homes, as well as the church. It's possible for us as believers to be, in a sense, kind of asleep and appear to be awake in our... We can put on a good show when we come into this church. But what are we really doing for Christ through the rest of the week? It's possible to sing a hymn and to look at the words up here, or a song, without being awake to the words. Do the words that are up here... You know, the words up here aren't just for you to be singing. Joni goes through a lot of trouble and effort to pick out those songs. She prays about those songs. And when they come up here, there's a method here. There's a purpose. God wants to use those to touch your heart. But are you so asleep that all you're doing is just singing it and it means nothing to you? Or maybe it's possible to walk and live while asleep and you end up in harm's way because you're asleep, and pretty soon you find yourself involved in things that you shouldn't be because you weren't sharp enough to be able to know what it was. And you slowly go down a slippery path because you're asleep. It's possible to be kind of in a dreamy state and not be acting for the Lord at all. When we do awaken, when we become responsible to His leading, then Paul says, Christ's light will shine upon you and me, and we will be the light of the world. So in conclusion here this morning, as we're reflecting upon this Missions Sunday, while we may not be missionaries, we have a missionary who is here. I consider Jim a missionary because he's involved in this mission work at Shiloh. Well, but most of us aren't missionaries. We're right here in Hamilton, Illinois, or Carthage, or wherever. But yet, you know what? We are called to do the work of an evangelist. We're called to do the work of the people that are sharing the gospel in other countries. What's that call? It's to be sharing Jesus Christ with those around us. To be sharing that good news. We do that by being light. We can share the gospel with what? Our words. And we can share the gospel with our example to other people around us. And we can share the gospel, especially today, as you think about it, begin this process, by our sacrificial gifts. We can do this practically by partnering with missions and missionaries through our finances and our other general resources. We can give so that the gospel will go forth through missions like Shiloh and others who are faithful to the Word of God and to the good news of Jesus Christ. You have a faith promise. This is beginning Faith Promise Sunday. And we ask you to consider what God would have you to do to be a part of this faith promise, to be supporting those people who are sent out to be missions. Do you know why? Do you remember those of you that were in Sunday school? Do you remember the success stories? Do you remember the little young lady by the name of Ebony? Ebony was a young gal who came to Shiloh. Did she come to know Christ there, brother, at Shiloh? Do you know? No, I'm...
Oh, yes, she did.
So, by the way, he came to know Christ in Vietnam. You know, you talk about a soul awakening experience. War will do that to you, won't it? It did him. But Ebony was a young girl that came to know Christ at Shiloh. Now what does Ebony want to do? She wants to go and be a missionary. She wants to go, I think it's over to India, and to work with orphans and other people over there. So do you know what that means? That means that your financial giving has been used by God to reach that young person by the name of Ebony so that she will go out into the world. You never know how much your influence financially can be to people and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we give so that the gospel goes forth through missions like Shiloh and others who are faithful to the word of God and to the good news of Jesus Christ. The world, people around us today, needs Jesus more than ever before. We have the wonderful privilege. We've been entrusted with the gospel. Be a good steward. Walk as children of the light and reflect him through your example, by your word, your example, and your gifts. And live your life in the light of Jesus, to his glory and to his honor. Father, thank you so much. And we pray that you would now just help us as we think through, even in the practical way, the faith promise. And Lord, that you would use this as a springboard to prick our hearts about being willing to serve financially those who are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, such as Shiloh and other missionaries, that our hearts would be pouring out to them. But more importantly, that we ourselves would be willing to be the light to the world around us, even here in Hamilton and Carthage and the surrounding areas, in our daily activities, to be willing to allow Jesus to be seen in us. May we be living in the light in his name, and for his glory we pray. Amen.